I'm using a new Bible. This is the one that Jack Hayford did the commentary in. It's called the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and that's because my NET Bible grew legs and walked off. I'm hoping that it returns at some point, but if it does, that's okay, as long as I just want it to do some good wherever it is. Right there in the book, you find the answers to the issues you face in your life. I was contemplating the promises of God, because that's a series we're in. And since there's, I mentioned this before, somebody counted 30,000. Others have said he's a little light on that. 30,000 promises. So this series could take, what, weeks? But the one I thought of when I was praying about it this time was the one that comes out of Proverbs 3:6. It says, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, or he will make your paths straight. There's a promise that in acknowledging him, he will participate in my life and in your life. And he will straighten things out. He will straighten my life out. He'll straighten your life out. And he'll give me the right kind of focus. Now, this is a promise made for what you want to think of as a mature believer. People fully committed. Those people who put their hand on the plow and they're not looking back. They're sold out to people. They look to Jesus to lead and guide them every day. It's a promise given to those that we would call, if we looked at them, disciples. People who really follow Christ. The people who are mentored by him, people who are in communion and fellowship with him and earnestly desire that he would lead their lives. It goes hand in hand with the preceding verse in Proverbs, and I wanted to read verses 5 and 6 and read them to you out of what's called the Amplified Bible, okay? Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Well, I don't know about you, but I have highs and lows. Sometimes my understanding and my insight is really shallow, and I know I shouldn't rely on it then, but sometimes I do anyway. This, I think, is what he's talking about. When we actually have deep insight and deep understanding because of God's Spirit in our life, that's what we want to rely on. We want to rely on it when God's presence is strong and we can sense his leading in our lives. In all of your ways, he says, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And he will make your path straight and smooth. And then in parentheses, in the Amplified, it adds this. Removing obstacles that block your way. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of a promise in my life because so many times I can get hung up with the obstacles. I can get hung up with the situations that are difficult. I can get hung up and not really want to deal with the tough stuff. You know, a couple of years ago, we started getting, in about 2011, we started getting emails that were irate emails about John Carlson, Pastor John Carlson. And there is a website called the Christian Prayer Center. Wasn't that it? Christian Prayer Center? And it got to the point where we put together a form email to send back because people were saying, you're selling prayers. How can you do that? How can you live with yourself? And we sent back this letter and said, it's not us. You know, if you can't find him on that site, why do you come to ours? You know, that's how I feel. Well, if you think he's impossible to reach on his own site, you're just going to Google him and we're going to pop up and I'm going to be the guy? Well, I knew at the time, or at least I had this feeling that there was no John Carlson associated with that site. But I did find on that site a P.O. box, and it was in Seattle. Well, that really ties me to it, right? Because, okay, proximity. So I thought to myself this, because I prayed about it, and I'm not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can understand how business works. If somebody's writing checks to this Christian Prayer Center, and they're sending them to a P.O. box in Seattle, they have to have a way to cash the check, right? That means in this state, you've got to be registered with the Secretary of State, and then you take that name, and you take it to the bank, and you can open an account. Then you can do business. So I contacted the Secretary of State, and I found two possibilities. One was on Mercer Island, and another one was within 3 miles of us right here, or where I live, actually. And I thought, boy, I don't know how to deal with it. I contacted a forensics guy, a guy that does forensics for the Alphabet Bunch, FBI, stuff like that, and computer-type things. And I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything about it, because they can call themselves anything they want online. So he said, but you could check with the FBI. Before I got to the FBI, I bumped into a guy who was a retired officer that did apparently detective type stuff. I ran it by him. And he said, you know, the truth is you're not going to make any headway with this. Because if a group wants to call themselves XYZ Church and they want to have ABC Pastor, then if ABC Pastor goes someplace, they still have a presence called ABC Pastor. And doesn't matter whether he exists or not, That's who he is on their site. And they can do this. I said, yeah, but what about John Carlson? I mean, like the real one. And they said, I don't think you can do anything about it because you're not the only John Carlson. And that's true. You know, there was the talk show guy that ran for governor, the one that was the tight end for the Hawks and now plays for Arizona, the other guy that's over in the eastern side of Washington that's a pastor over there. I mean, there's some of us around. It's a common Carlson, you know. If you were anywhere near Ballard growing up, you know Carlson's a common name. So we kind of just did this thing where we would respond and we would say, okay, we're sorry, we're not that guy. We'd be happy to pray for you for free. Freely we have received, we will freely give. We'd love to pray for you. Just respond to our site because this is the only site I'm really connected to in ministry. This is it. And last week I get a call. Hadn't really heard too much. There hadn't been a lot of activity recently. I get a call. And it's from a television station. Spanish language. Apparently this other site has now put together a Spanish language site that looks just like the English site. And this guy says to me, he says, I went to your website, Sound Christian Fellowship, and on there you say you're not connected to any other website. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, you do that because you were getting emails and stuff about this other? And I said, yeah, that's exactly why we did it. And then we talked for a while. And I talked about the kind of things that, you know, just that site is set up to prey on the desperate. You know, if we just send enough money, our prayers will be heard. You know, if we get to the next level, maybe Pastor John Carlson will actually pray for him. And it just keeps, it's wrong-headed and wrong-thinking. In my opinion, that the whole thing is off the charts. So he said, we'd like to interview you. And I said, well, with fear and trepidation, let's do it. Because I know what the news media can do to you. But they were actually good about it. They came out, and I guess maybe one of the English-speaking stations here is going to do it next week. And I saw the thing they did on the news. But I thought, you know, this is one of those things where he removes obstacles. And God does it, and you don't even know what's going to happen. And I asked him, I said, how did you ever come to know about this? He says, we got emails too. And so we started following up on it. And in that expose they did, they went to this guy's house. They found him. He had moved from Mercer Island. And they found the right guy, apparently. They were able to sort it out, and it wasn't the guys right around me. It was, they were a little further away. Bottom line was, the guy has done really well. The Mercedes didn't look that old. And I have no idea how much he makes doing this. But the house was really nice, folks. And I just think God pushes things out of the way. He makes paths straight. You and I can trust him to do that. How many of you know who Dallas Willard is? Dallas Willard, theologian. Dallas Willard, professor of philosophy at USC, passed away, wrote great books. I mean, just amazing. The Divine Conspiracy, he wrote that. Just awesome stuff that isn't necessarily heavy sledding. There's a lot to it, but it's anybody can follow it if you get into it. He wrote this. It was a take on verse in Colossians 3:17. He said, whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of. And then he stopped, he paused there, and he says, what does that mean? Do it in the name of. Does it mean to say the name at the end of it? To do it in the name of? You know, so you do it and then you say in Jesus' name? He says, is that what he's talking about? Or is he really saying, it means that I do it on behalf of him. I do it in place of him. So when he says, when I walk into a room to give a lecture, I say to myself, how would Jesus do this? And do I do it on his behalf? Am I doing this to honor him and to do it his way? That my life really is being done Christ's way. Discipleship means learning to acknowledge God in all that we do. And it takes a lot of learning. You actually never get done learning because you're always learning. And increasingly, you're able to acknowledge him in all your ways. You're able to do everything you do in word or deed on behalf of the Lord Jesus. And as you do that, amongst other things, your fear and anxiety dissipates or disappears because you aren't out on a limb by yourself. When you actually commit yourself to living life his way, you can expect him, I'm kind of diverging a little, you know, separating from what he was saying, but you start seeing him with you. And that expectation of him being with you changes things. You're not out on that limb by yourself. You're actually watching God in action in your life. And then Willard goes on to say, you stop second-guessing yourself and lambasting yourself because you didn't do it right. You're accepted by God where you are, that he put you there. You accept that, and you're in your world to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and it is God who makes that possible. You accept the fact that you're finite, that you make mistakes, that you're not perfect, and in so doing, you get on with the work that, get this, God has appointed to flow through your life as you become the person He intended you to be. You see, God has very high aims for you and I. His aim is that each one of us becomes the kind of person He can empower to do what we want. Then Willard doubles down on it. He says, I'm going to say that again. You and I are being trained, cultivated, and grown to the point where God can empower us to do what we want. Now, you got to recognize, he points this out, you got to recognize that a lot of work has to be done on our wanter. A lot of work has to go into our wanter before that can happen. But that is what life is about. And Willard finished with this. That's what we are learning to do as disciples of Jesus. You and I are going to do the thing that we want at some point, and it will be the thing that is pleasing to God. We're going to do that thing because we will grow to that point where our decisions will be in sync with what He wants. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I very much wanted God to simply lead me around by the nose to do whatever He wanted. I mean, it seemed at that moment just easier than this thing of trying to figure out what I should do. Just lead me around by the nose and I'll be okay. Because I've never been good at reading between the lines. If somebody expects me to read between the lines, be it known to all I see there is white space. I don't get it. You got to really tell me. And when you just tell me this straight, I can handle it. I can do that. But I'm not good the other way. And sometimes trying to figure things out left me wishing that I could just be led around on a leash. And granted, you know, I acknowledge there's not much freedom on a leash, but there were times when I thought the trade-off would have worked for me. But God wants to take me to a place where He can empower me to do what I want, because He has altered and redirected my wants, and I've arrived at a place where what I want is what He wants. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Some of us read that and it sounds like have a blast with God and get what you want. But you know, it may be very well that what he's saying, enjoy God's presence in every area of your life. Live with Him and allow Him to influence every decision. Enjoy His presence and trust Him. And He will place in your heart godly desires. He will give you heavenly desires to replace the carnal ones, the ones that mess things up. And out of a love relationship with Him will come a changed heart, a heart that desires first and foremost God's presence in your life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, or He will make your paths straight, because He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So what does it look like when He directs your path, makes your path straight? What does that look like? Well, for Stephen, it meant a quick promotion from this life to the next by way of stoning. They stoned him to death. First Christian martyr. For the Apostle Peter, it meant a life of leadership punctuated by extraordinary miracles and the lame healed, you know, as well as persecution, beatings, culminating in his crucifixion upside down. For Thomas, the one known to us for his doubting, he got it straight. It meant to him that he would be a missionary in China or in India, where he was killed by a mob when they were celebrating some pagan event, and he took issue with it, and they killed him for it. You know, the list is long. The list is long. People living for him and being led by him, acknowledging him and having their paths directed by him to go through a lot, and in the end, many of them, or some of them, give all. They give it all. You know, from Abraham and the patriarchs to Moses and the prophets to the judges and to David and the kings, we find men and women who give their lives, live their lives, acknowledging Him and being directed and led by Him. Being led of the Spirit means we live and move at the impulse of God, the Holy Spirit. And while there are many New Testament examples of people doing life God's way, great examples exist in the New Testament, there's also tremendous examples in the Old Testament of people who did life God's way. And when I was praying about the verse for the promise for today, The character that I wanted to talk about most was Joseph. He is just so Christian-like. Here's a man who is gifted by God, who can see visions and who can interpret dreams, and he is experiencing a gift from the Holy Spirit in his life from the time of his youth. He would express the gift, and it fueled a variety of different reactions in people, the visions and the dreams that he would describe to others. I mean, to his brothers, he was a favored son and an arrogant kid who saw himself as better than they were. And he was the tattler, the one who would spy out their behavior and report back to daddy. Jacob loved him. His father loved him. But those brothers got really tired of him. And they, not all, but some, wanted him dead. They reached a consensus, and rather than kill him, they threw him into a well. That's the opportune moment they would be able to sell him off as a slave. And they did it in spite of his pleadings and his begging. Don't do this to me. They sold him into slavery. I don't know what it is about the Middle East. I don't know what it is about that part of the world, but they still do that kind of thing today. That stuff still happens. Joseph was sold into slavery, taken to Egypt, where he lived in the household of a man named Potiphar. And after falsely being accused by Potiphar's wife of rape, he gets thrown into prison. He's there for over 2 years, and during that time, the gift continues to operate with him. Now, you know that he maintained his integrity, because that's what put him in prison. If he had just been a dog and gone with Potiphar's wife, he probably could have survived it and not gone to prison. But because he didn't, he winds up going to prison. He winds up being put away. It doesn't look like a promotion. It doesn't look like a promotion when his brothers sell him into slavery. It looks like the worst of the worst. But in prison, he winds up getting promoted until he's like the captain of the prisoners. He's in charge of it. And he's still having these dreams. He's still able to interpret. He still sees vision. And there's a couple of guys from the Pharaoh's household, the cupbearer and the baker, they get tossed in to prison. Pharaoh's ticked off. And they both are given a dream by God. And they come and they want to know what it means. And he interprets it. And he tells the cupbearer, you're going to be restored to your position. And he explains what happened. And he tells the baker, you're going to die. We got some good news here and some bad. The good news first for the cupbearer, the bad news for the baker. And it happens exactly like that, okay? It happened just like that. And the cupbearer goes and Joseph says, don't forget me. Well, he immediately forgets him, gets about his business. Well, we know that Joseph was locked up for over 2 years in prison, falsely accused, and he's there. And one day, Pharaoh, king, has a dream. It's a crazy dream. There's a dream of these 7 fat, sleek cattle that come up out of the Nile River. And then there's these gaunt ones, 7 more. And they eat up the fat ones, but they don't get fat eating them. They still stay gaunt. And then he sees this grain of wheat, this stalk of grain, and on it there are 7, like ears on the stalk. And they're plump and perfect. And then this other one shows up, and it's all rotten and bad, and it eats the one that's good. And he goes to his magicians, and he says, what does this dream mean? And they say, sorry, Captain, we no can do. And the cupbearer at that moment remembers Joseph and says, hey, there's this guy. He's good with this stuff. I mean, really good. He told them, you know, he knew that you were going to the baker and that you were going to put me back in my position. He told me about it before it happened. You should get him. So they go and they get him and they bring him in. They shave him. They clean him up. You know, he cleaned up really good. They bring him before the king. And the king tells him what happened. Pharaoh says, this is how it went down. This is what I saw. And Joseph says, I can't do anything with your dream, but God can. He gives all the glory to God. I can't do this, but God can do this. And then he hears it. He says, this dream, both of these things are exactly the same thing. They're the same dream. And what it means is you're going to have 7 years of great harvest and plenty, followed by 7 of the leanest, meanest years you've ever seen. And because the thing was given to you side by side and it's done twice, it's coming right now. It's coming right now and you need to prepare for it now. So choose somebody who's bright and wise to set this up. And Pharaoh is thoroughly impressed with the prisoner. And he says, I can't think of anybody better to do this than you. You know what's going on. You set it up. You make it happen. I'm going to remain Pharaoh, but everybody else takes orders from you from now on. From prison to prime minister overnight. Now, that we like. Do we not like that? I love that part. It's that part of being sold into slavery that I don't like. like. It's the part of being thrown into prison over false charges that I don't like. I don't like that part. But he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. He will get the clutter out of the way and bring it to pass. He's really good with that stuff. He's really good with that stuff. The real promise to us is that for those who commit their way to the Lord, who acknowledge the Lord in all their ways, who really get him involved, God will see to it that no matter how weird or difficult things are, I don't know about you, do you have any weird things that happen in your life? Yeah, sometimes, yeah, okay. Any difficulties? No, you have difficulties. I know that. You have to raise your hands because I don't want to see that, you know, the sheaves flying in the wind. Nobody has difficulties, I understand. But if you did, he's good with that. He's good with that. And he can get rid of the clutter. How crazy did Mary's life look?
Yes, I am pregnant. No, I don't know any guys. Who's going to believe that? Nobody. Okay, we got Joseph who finally, because of an angel's visitation, accepts her. Now, what's next? Let's ride or walk to from where we're at to Bethlehem. And then you get there and there's no place to be. And so you're going to have this child in a barn? Does that look to you like the blessings of God? No, but he was making a way for them. He was making a way for his own son. Those who acknowledge the Lord in all of their ways, he will direct their paths. It's a promise. It's a promise. During this holiday time, I mean, you can make an effort to just draw near to him. And he has a promise for that too. You know that? He has a promise for you if you will just draw near to him, whether it's in prayer or Bible study or fasting or just, you know, that moment when you just finally cut out everything else and you get into your... How many of you saw the movie War Room? You should all see the movie War Room. That movie can affect your life. You need a place where you can go and just get out of it. For some of you, it's your car. You know, you get away from everything and you can actually spend some quality time in prayer. I would encourage you to keep your eyes open, but still, you know, I know a guy that used to miss, he laughed about it. He was a pastor of mine many years ago. He says, my wife doesn't even want me driving when I'm praying. I said, really? I said, I pray and drive, you know, frequently. He said, yeah, well, I miss all the exits, you know. He couldn't get where he was going, you know, because he would just be, you know, just out there, you know. And if you draw near to him, the promise is what? He will draw near to you. What an extraordinary promise. That if you will just draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Don't you love the promises? You know, there was a song written years ago, Standing on the Promises. Of Christ my King, da-da-da-da-da-da, let your praises ring. Yeah, another generation, totally different generation, and they're singing songs about the promises of God, living on the promises of God, finding the promise of God, and just basing your life on them because you can trust them. You can trust them. Would you pray with me? We're going to get you out of here. That was less than 30 minutes. Pretty good, huh? We made it. Heavenly Father, we praise and bless you, Lord, that your promises are good and solid and true today, just like they've been throughout the ages. We thank you for those examples you give us of great guys like Joseph and great guys like Peter and great guys like Stephen and Thomas and Paul, all the others, Lord, that these are men that we can learn from. And we can see how, Lord, you are with us, and in this particular promise, that you will clear the path, Lord. You will make the way, that you will direct our lives. You will bring it to pass. We love you for it, Lord. It just makes life better when we can lean on that, especially when we're in that situation where we don't like being sold into slavery, and when we're in that situation where we really, really don't want to be thrown into prison, and, you know, that kind of stuff, Lord, where we're struggling with the way it looks on the outside, and then suddenly there you are. And you make it work. You're amazing. You are amazingly faithful, oh God. We love you for the way you do things, Lord. Unique to you alone, because only you know the end from the beginning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.